Our reading for today begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Elizabeth and Mary are both in a very unique circumstance in which their lives have been dramatically changed in a very short period of time. Remember that Elizabeth had been barren and so now was granted the great honor of being the mother of John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Lord. And so she is pregnant with John, and then Mary has, you know, become pregnant as well, as we've been talking about as we read through these particular accounts, and how her life has been changed, and she's going to be enduring, yes, great blessings along with this, but she's going to have to deal with some difficulty as well. In addition to this, remember that Zechariah at this time is mute. He can't speak, and he won't be able to speak until the birth of his son. Now, I realize we could make a lot of humorous comments out of that. We could say Elizabeth finally gets to speak her mind and he won't interrupt her. We could, you know, talk about all sorts of things. But humor aside, I mean, there would be some difficulty along with that. There's been a couple of times in our marriage that Audrey has strained her vocal cords and had to refrain from talking for a while. And at first she thought, well, I could whisper and that would be easier, until a vocal therapist told her that whispering was actually harder on the voice than just speaking outright. And I made light of it for a while, you know, but it became difficult. You know, if I had to ask her a question, I had to wait for her to write it down. It wasn't the greatest of circumstances. So while it seems humorous, when you start drawing this out, especially over months, this is not the best of circumstances. Now, when Elizabeth and Mary come together during this account, notice that John the Baptist, who has not been born yet, who is still in the womb of his mother, leaps whenever they meet each other. There is some involvement with the Holy Spirit going on here. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She begins to exclaim, "Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment." So yes, this is an inspired situation, because you see the Holy Spirit coming upon her and her stating these things. But as well, you know, her reaction to this whole situation is to exclaim this blessing on Mary. But Mary turns around, and when she reacts to this, she starts to praise the Lord. Her focus is on God himself. So in the midst of all of this, Mary realizes that this great honor has been bestowed upon her to be the mother of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And that's impacting her to her core, to the point that her response is, "I'm going to glorify God for what he is doing." And so he is blessing her with this great honor. She knows that she hasn't done anything that's earned this honor. At least we certainly don't have anything contained within Scripture. But we know that she's included within God's plan, and she's part of the lineage that would allow this to be the fulfillment of prophecy as well. Nevertheless, God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. And so look at her words again in verse 48 and 49. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So even though Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and she proclaims blessings upon Mary, Mary turns around and shifts the focus over to God and gives glory to God for what he's doing and for that special emphasis that he has placed upon her, that special role she gets to play. As she continues through this and puts that focus on God, he talks about his mercy and his mighty things, how holy is his name, the strength of God. Talking about scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, bringing down the mighty, exalting the humble, filling the hungry with good things, the rich he has sent away empty, has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, spoke to the fathers before this time, to Abraham, to his offspring. And so she really is putting the focus on God, and not just on what he's doing right now through her, but who God is and what he has done throughout the history of his dealings with his people. I think this is a remarkable account here about what Mary is saying about God. And we need to take some of that to heart. We need to realize that, yes, God has blessed me, but when I praise him and thank him for those blessings, maybe I need to expound that beyond just what I'm feeling thankful for that he did for me in this moment, but praise him for who he is and what he's been doing and his faithfulness for his people through a greater amount of time than just this moment in my life. If we're really going to let Jesus reign in our life as our King, our Savior, our Good Shepherd, our High Priest, our joint heir, you know, us being joint heirs with him, then we really need to realize that he deserves all the praise and honor that we can muster for him. And we need to praise him not just for, you know, those microcosms of what has happened, but those greater view of what we see is he is the Messiah. He is the one who fit into God's eternal plan all the way back to before creation, all the way through coming to this earth, dying on the cross, being resurrected, going back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God, reigning at this moment, waiting for the fullness of time, where he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lamb who is victorious. We need to let him reign in our lives in such a way that we praise him and we glorify him by the way that we live in our commitment to him and the way that we speak in our praise to him and the way that we serve in our obedience to him. I think the lesson for us for today is to realize this from Mary, that we need to praise God for more than just the blessing we have now. We need to praise him for who he is, and we need to bow down to him as our King and our God, the way that he deserves to be reigning in our lives. And so perhaps what we need to pray for today is to embrace a more humble and submissive heart so that we might yield ourselves over to him. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God will be with us all.